Okay. Ist das enough? Okay, let's start. My name is Rune Engelhardt. I'm a Debian developer and I'm going to... Going to talk about OpenOffice.org and GNU/Linux distributions. I'm the band developer since around 5 years now, and I'm participating at the OpenOffice.org maintenance since about the same time, or 4 years, I don't remember exactly anymore. So let's start. What I'm going to talk about is the popularity or the non-popularity of the Office Suite, about whether we really should call us an open source project, about the issue with architectures, about building and library usage, packaging issues, and at the end, some things we might be able to do to fix the mess we have currently. That's the graph of the popularity in Debian. The blue graph is the base files. There is about 8,000 people reporting statistics per popularity contest package. Base files is about 8,000 something, which is installed in every system reporting. Then you have the red line, which is the 2.0 version or 2.03 or whatever people had installed at the time. The red line is the 1.x version, and the green line is the 2.0 version. You see that the overall installation of the package is a bit lesser of the half of the reporting machines. Now let's look about the modules. We have 7,043 people which installed the OpenOffice.org package, which basically is just a package depending on Calc, Writer, Core, Draw, and Print, and Mod. There are 30 people more which installed just Writer. And there is 313 people which lesser than which installed base. The most argument I hear for people not installing base is because base and our packaging depends on the JVM, because the trailer database just only works with the JVM. What I also often see in IRC channels is that people, for example, just install Writer temporarily to just watch a doc, and then either forget that it is installed or either remove it again. There is also the graph here, which is the bin filters, which is an out package at Debian, and isn't really installed at all. You also see that most people prefer the free Java stack compared to non-free one. Okay, I should have done this slide before the graph, but I just want to show the popularity. The Debian project is a free project which provides a free GNU Linux distribution. was founded in 1993 by Ian Murdoch, and basically has three archive sections. One section, the main section, which is the distribution itself, it just contains software which is suitable for the suitable for free software, so that you have all the freedoms with it. Any license which allows the fundamental freedoms, it's okay for main. Contrib is the section with software which also do fulfill these freedoms, but somehow need other software which is not in main, because it's not shipped completely, or because it's not legal to ship it, or because it's not non-free. The best example is mPlayer, which we don't ship at all, but we do have the mPlayer plugin in Contrib. And non-free is self-explanatory. So, I just had to talk about from Ergin about the developer survey and his slides showed that many contributors do expect an OpenOffice.org source code or the OpenOffice.org installation not contain proprietary software. That's a prerequisite for them to contribute. And they also think that documentation on using OpenOffice.org or developing on OpenOffice.org is also important. This is not the word for word started, but the sense is the same in his presentation from his slides. It means that when you want people to climb the ladder and want to make them open source evangelists, you also have to provide the environment for them to be able to use the stuff without betraying themselves with their evangelist stuff. So the result should be that we shouldn't ship any non-free components at all. That's the theory. In theory, that's already the case, but in practice, it's not. On the side, there is written that we are an open source project. I basically agree with that. Wouldn't there be some issues which are unfixed for months, years? There is three. I think in your milestone it's 2 a.m. non-free jars in external common, which you are needing for building the XML head, XML search, which you need for building XML head, which you need for building head. So you can't get without them. But people who just want to ship free software can't. They need to be paid in some way. This is one of the issues which is 3 years old. Then there is a developer's guide with the license text of the developer's guide says that you are not allowed to modify it in any case. You have the you might do it if you ask Sun beforehand. But that's a clause which makes it not free, because not everyone can do it, not everyone wants to do that, and not everyone should be required to do that. The XML spec is also non-free, but I can live with it with some headache, because the RFC are also not modifiable, or the OS standard as well. But the developer surface is important, because if you don't ship it, you don't have documentation for developers to start using the SDK. Then there is hyphenation patterns in dictionaries, where three of them have de volgende. Have illegal or questionable license terms. The most of, I will come to it later. There is the usage of non-fee GPC library, which thankfully is now not needed anymore because we have the base GFX implementation, but the default Sun build still built with it. The sound and video stuff does need the JRF, which also is not a fee. So it wasn't possible for free versions to embed audios or videos. This is now fixed with the GSTMA work, which partially works on my laptop. If we speak about open source, and when the software is open source, you also have to build the whole office. You have to build the whole office with free tools. You have to build it with free Java implementations. You have to build it with free compilers. You have to build the... You are not supposed to use binary-only stuff, like the UnoWinRack DLL, which you or shipped in a binary form. So I patched it to be cross-compiled. Oops. So that's the external common issue. Those are, according to the README, last I looked, we are proprietary. There is issue 21678, which deals with that, which was filed 3 years ago. Although normal Xamarin services and XT versions exist, this issue is unfixed since 3 years. Always retargeted from 1.0 to 1.01, 1.02, 1.03, and so on. There is a possibility to just copy the normal Xamarin Xerxes into the tree and then use an XT which you can build yourself because XT needs some small change. But it's no problem. You can just either use the normal XT and use an extra part to build it or rebuild the complete XT with the pad included. That's issue 59985, which is also marked as the issue 21678 is marked depending on that issue. But that issue isn't that either. The problem is, I could have done it already myself, because I do have VBS files. But the problem is, when I want to do such intrusive change, it might make sense to coordinate with the Sun people and their build environment, because I can't change my test with Sun build environment. So if I can do that, but I would need to assistance from Sun for their build environment.
So there's a chunk of space for it.
Pardon?
So there's a chunk of space for it, so that Sun engineers have the chance to double check this change.
Yeah, but I already asked the issue. What is the status of that? And everyone who would be able to read the issue could say, okay, this is the problem we have with the implementation. Please fix it. But the current issue about XT is there was some discussion between you and Martin Vetra, which the last post is from Martin, explaining what he did. Nothing more. If you say, I should just do a ZBS and do that and look whether it breaks on Windows or whether it breaks in Sun environment, I can just do it if you promise me to review it or some other Sun engineer does it.
As we did it already some months ago,
as
I said, you it breaks the build and nothing happens then. So we cannot get any further if everybody points at each other to do some more additional work on that. Sun is open to any changes and will assist you, but it must be in a constructive way. We cannot expect
the constructive way was the patch from Martin. Patch 1. There is a patch in 5.9.8 something. For the other two, you just need to copy the LAN from some distribution package or from Apache site into the tree. That's it.
It's already committed to the code base. So it's work in progress, and we are waiting for the transfer phase so that we can work on this in a common manner. So let's just work on it.
Okay, I can just do a ZBS and then look what breaks.
Yes, please.
But as I said, I didn't yet do it because I wanted to do the confirmation beforehand, before I invest time, and the ZBS gets rejected. So I already mentioned the hyphenation patterns in the dictionaries module. Except the German one, which got fixed in issue 5.4.505, I didn't mention it yet. And the Hungarian, which were okay, are the Danish, the English, the Italian, the Netherlands, and the Russian one have some problems. Both dictionaries have the third problem mentioned there. They're based on the LPPL fix hyphenation pattern without fulfilling what the LPPL says. The LPPL says you can relicense the stuff, but you either must ship the original patterns, what you took it from tech, or you have to link to the original patterns. And not modified, not to the up-to-date patterns, but the original ones. And neither of those three have a README file stating where it was, or they don't ship the pattern. The first two are problems with the hyphenation stuff available on FTP start.fde. At one time I went through that and looked at them, and the first two are very often found. You can't take a pattern which is non-free, which is explicitly written in the header, and bank a GPL or LGPL. You can't either take a GPL pattern and bank an LGPL, because the GPL requires its modifications must be on the GPL. We asked the novel layers about that. The answer is still to go, because it was just done a few days ago. What I had to do with these files is to just remove them. I don't ship them at all, neither in the binary packages nor in the source, because I'm not allowed to. And Sun, strictly speaking, is not allowed either. So, we see the popularity contest graphs of the Debian architectures. We see that i386 is still the first place, strongly followed by AB64, or like some people like it better, x64-86, x86-64, and some PowerPC and stuff near the end of the graph. The problem with that is that there is not only i386 in the world. Debian supports 11 architectures, which are listed there. And currently we support i386 PowerPC and Spark for OpenOffice as well. The one on X series has also a SD-LAN port, which works somewhere in 1.9, I don't remember. The problem here is that Sun only builds i386 binaries, which is there right? I don't want to question that, but the problem is then you still have porting issues, which could be found before if Sun tried to build on a Linux non-i386 platform. there is the problem that there was no visible progress or participation from the Sun in the AD64 porting. So the AD64 porting took a bit too long for the community to die. So, besides the fact that we have a bad reputation anyway, Friedrich mentioned it in his talk, we got a new bad reputation for not having no AD64 version. Because there is an increased number of AD64 users, which the graph shows. The gap is shrinking. So people either need to use the change root or use the i386 binaries in some other way. If you want to package OpenOffice.org for distribution, opt is not allowed to be used because opt is just for third-party add-ons. If you want to do a perfect package, you are supposed to use the config, or at least parts of the config, because there's config overlays to RTC, etc, and arch index stuff into user share. This is not possible with the current OpenOffice org. If you move Zoffice to some other place, BTC OpenOffice for example, there was a sec fault, which is a bug.
Just a comment, that's already fixed for quite a while.
No, it isn't.
The patch is lying around there, I sent it back to you. That's
there was no progress in the issue.
It's not my issue, basically.
You haven't said that you have a patching issue.
Right, that's the patch attached and the patch. The issue is also set to patch.
We can just look, maybe I just oversaw it. But that shouldn't be an accusation. It was just the fact that it happened. A halving is not possible because you have etc and user on different partitions. You can't do a halving. And for now, I needed an active record. For the normal config, for the registry, you can use config layers. You can just look in etc first, and if there is nothing, then for user bit. The public UNO libraries, if you ship the DLL, the SOs in SDK, and people want to link against that, they expect the stuff into user lib normally. They want a user lib OpenOffice SDK in Debian, so you need to set a library path. Or an R path letter for use. When you try to move the UNO libraries into user lib, it breaks it up with the origin mechanism because it then searches the libs in user lib. We had a bug in the 1.1x series, which isn't that great in the 2x series, I guess, but it was in the 1.1x series, where the setup application did fail on large disks. The issue number is there. They were easy to fix with building with the file of the disk 64. Assuming this would change API, it would have been a good point. A good fix to point this for 2.0, because there is major release anyway, and you would have been able to break compatibility.
And we can integrate at any time anyway.
At the issue, we had a discussion on the mailing list, and you said it probably won't change the API. So, I already enabled in Debian packages. I think Caroline did try that message too. And we will see what will be going on. I will make a CVS of that. And really see whether something waves for one-to-one then. There is the problem that OpenOffice.org uses all the libraries internally. That's understandable from the point of view of Sun, which needs to have a baseline to build against, so they don't get new dependencies on new curl or Leon or whatever versions. But you don't need to use getopt or vdlr for internal sources, because even Windows has those libraries. And even if not, you could have editor check. The whole internal library mess makes the package size bigger than needed. The package is already too big anyway, so we should aim to shrink the package size and not increase it with additional libraries. When you have added a library into your source, like Neon for example, you miss the bug fixes. Might it be security or might it be normal stuff, if you don't regularly update them. It did happen that Neon and Curl were left at the version where just needed, where there was security problems and they needed to be reported. And there is some bugs in the libraries which are fixed in the newer versions. And with new compilers, sometimes the internal stuff is not visible anymore. The last thing I remembered was XML2, which needed a complex fix to... Mozilla. Mozilla needed a complex fix to... This is not newer compilers. I don't know yet whether it's fixed, because I don't use the Mozilla internally. The problem with that is I already have done most of the patches to enable the build optionally to use the system libraries, with system Neon, with system Curl, with system whatever. The problem in this case is when there is patches in the source, which doesn't only fix build problems or bugs, but only add new features. New APIs, changing behavior, like it is for XMLSec, for example. This makes usage of the normal libraries that you already have on the system extremely difficult and impossible, like it for XMLSec has at the moment. So I need to build with internal XMLSec, and upgrading the XMLSec node would be a huge effort. Caroline had an issue, and I already mentioned the principle that everything should be built by source. If we need a DLL for the SDK, the DLL should be built too, ideally. There is also the mechanism that always was before the flavor to have. You can use a pre-built one, you just have to fetch it and put it into external. Then you can just use it. But the normal case should just be to rebuild the stuff. Because that's the open source principle. You don't, I either want to take an LS and just use an LS from somewhere.
But if, question?
Yeah.
If a user on Linux is running OpenOffice, he's not running this DLL, so it's not technically.
Yeah, so right, but you are shipping it. You are shipping it in SDK.
The problem with this DLL is that this enables components applications to find OpenOffice, and especially Java applications, and that's, these work on all platforms, Linux, Solaris, Windows. Certainly the source is available, but for convenient reasons, depending on if it's good or not, people decided to put that in for the Linux build as a binary into the
CDF. Yeah. But what I'm aiming at is that a Linux user wants to have his freedoms he don't actually get gain anything by having the source or by being able to compile.
Okay, possibly did.
But he doesn't use DLL. He can't run it because it's a DLL.
Yeah, but
so what's the freedom he gained from it?
If you ship a development package of office.dev, you give the user the DLL without knowing. Well, I know it comes from Sun, but basically, I don't know how it was built and when it was built. And it's better to just rebuild it because it's possible. And only in exceptions, you can just copy the DLL into the source and build with the internal one. It's no problem to build with the internal one. Just copy it into TP and you are done. But the default should be to build everything possible.
The default should be to have an acceptable build experience for people trying to build.
Yeah, but the error message already says to get this DLL.
Sorry. This introduces a new prerequisite to have a cross compiler, and I think in this specific case we have to make a trade-off.
But the error message. The build checks whether the DLL is there. And only if the DLL is not there, if it checks for the MingW compiler. And if it doesn't find the MingW compiler, it says you either must specify the MingW as path or copy the DLL in it. Or disable the RDK completely. The error message does say that. There isn't a point.
I don't want to have an error message at all. If I want to be extra clever or extra compliant with your idea of how to build, then I can switch this on with a configure switch. But I think what we all need is to have a build experience for the average user that is acceptable.
Yeah,
so we do have to make trade-offs at times.
Probably,
but we can't live
in my opinion,
universe
in
and don't cooperate.
We all had a discussion on the mailing list, so. Often, when I get asked whether people should use the official Debian packages or the packages by Sun, I recommend against using the Sun packages because the packaging of the Sun packages is completely inconsistent. The packaging of the Sun packages, you can't easily upgrade them because you have file configs everywhere between 203 and 204. You have to remove the old ones and install the new ones. And because of that, I needed a remove a lot of libraries about to make it possible to have a proper split. For example, the whole SD libraries are not in draw but in core, which doesn't really make sense because you can move it into draw and make inference depend on draw. Yeah, I already mentioned the base size. Belonging to base, there is the RES files, which some are in calc, some are in base, some are in math, and most are in core node 4 or whatever. I find an issue about that. It didn't yet get fixed for the next release. I hope it will be for the release after that. There is the Mozilla plugin where the plugin only works if you have it into your user home directory in point Mozilla plugins, but not if you have it into user lib Mozilla plugins. It's a problem for systems where you try to administer and want to set the system by default. You can theoretically go through all the user deals and create a symlink and add it to etc scale so no users get the symlink too. But users can disable it then. and it might not be what you want as an admin. You should leave the admin a choice.
There was a proposed patch on this, which doesn't work unfortunately. Should be looked at. That's not the Mozilla plugin issue. It's no real accusation. That's a statement of fact. So, there was OOBuild, which is a common patch repository. This is often accused to be a fork of OpenOffice.org, which I don't really think it is, because it's just fixing bugs or backporting new features from development for testing to get them into OOBuild to test them in production. And when they are okay, when there are no build errors, when it works on we have Windows builders, we have Linux builders, we can just put it into a CWS, and it will be have better quality without having tested it before. I do most of that with my configure stuff. I always have to have them in our build first. There is also the possibility to just accept patches which are not accepted by Sun for whatever reason. So, this is just the brainstorming. I didn't get to talk with anyone about that. It might be possible to make a team of Sun people and some distro packages to coordinate. We can arrange IRC meetings or whatever is appropriate. There might be the possibility to address issues for packaging quicker, because the RES files also shouldn't be that big problem to move. It might be possible for the future to at least try to remove the feature patches from the patch sets, but upgrade to a newer version of Upstream, or if that is not possible to send a patch upstream and use that release. So you just have a dependency on the new version, but as you ship the library internally, it doesn't matter anyway. We should keep internal libraries up to date so that we don't have an ancient centlib or an ancient free type and therefore have incompatibilities to the normal system. And think more about the free software philosophy with the JAS issue and the developer's guide. Yeah, and now I'm open for questions which just were asked before already. Yeah.
One more time, what was that DLL file for?
The DLL file is the DLL file is a JNI library, which you need when you are writing a Java program, Java Uno component, and want to deploy it on Windows. The JNI library is for accessing the registry. If you want to access the registry from the Java program, you need that JNI library. So if you want to have a complete development package, you should ship that DLL, because people who want to develop with the package do not want to ship to get the DLL somewhere else, because they don't know or don't want to bother. There was a bug report in Debian where that exactly happened, where someone told me, I need the DLL and we didn't ship it, and because of that I looked into the cross-compiling thing. Before of that I just didn't ship it.
You see, the problem is that if you want to write a Java application which should be platform independent, you want to deploy it on Windows, you develop it on Linux, on a Windows, it needs to find the office, and the office cannot be easily found. So you need to access the registry, but unfortunately, not all Java versions allow to access the registry. And this is just, I know exactly, but it's a workaround for that.
Okay, so developing the app.
Developing independent applications.
It is only of interest for people actually developing software with the packages installed, or for the end user.
I'm pretty sure that if you have another suggestion, how that could be solved, you could change it.
Yeah, the problem is it's relevant for the end user in the case you really want to deploy the program. So if you want have an OpenOffice.org dev installed and want to deploy the program you are developed, you probably want to ship the DLL with it.
How big is the DLL?
Some case, 7K or something like that.
I've seen my data in some source code, I've then written out at runtime and load it.
Yeah. Is it 7K or something like that?
Yeah. Sorry, you will never have noticed if you do that.
So, I understand really the standpoint. So from this point of view, it has to be rebuilt. And this is binary and doesn't fit with that. But on the other side, I'm producing a new build precedence, which is several hundred Ks just for building this one. It seems to be kind of overdone also.
And I also don't really understand why it needs to be built from source from the Debian users.
Because that's what they do, they build everything from source.
But it's not used on the Debian system. Mm-hmm. So it's not something...
That's a good point, yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
And
but
you're building the images and GIFs and TIFFs and whatever also? For example, these are binaries as well.
It depends. If there is... there was a time in 1.1x series where... I modified the splash where I just added the Debian logo in it. And for that, I made the XDF and converted it doing the build on the fly. Because the XDF is the source. And for normal GIFs and TIFFs, it's not that.
So they're kind of opaque. Huh? You build them wrong. They are opaque, they are not transparent. You don't build them, you just take them and they are.
For GIFs, TIFFs, and so on, and no, I don't build them.
This library, you could do the same with that, right?
Strictly speaking, yes, but it's not a DLL with your shipping user, which the user executes.
But as said, for Debian users, there's no relevance in this library.
It's a relevance because they develop the software and ship it to other users.
But the Debian user can develop software for a plugin for OOO that it's not even less proprietary, can't you? So it's up to the developer of this plugin to ship the sources to this GNOME reg or not.
It seems even a weaker case than that there is for fonts, where fonts have printing tables and collision tables in them, where there are it is an application Debian users really actually using the executable there. It's treating it as a blob of data that's getting exported.
Yeah, well, I already admitted in various discussions that I'm a hardliner in these positions. It's just the opinion of people who just want to.
Yeah, actually, it would be even a debate inside Debian. Would we have to discuss together? We would probably not agree on that topic. So I think that if such things are an obstacle to this, I'm kind of outsider here. I have the Debian hat, but I know nothing about OpenOffice build and the like. But if such issues become an obstacle to spreading out OpenOffice packages, I would better think it would better remove the offending file if that's possible.
Yeah, but that's what I did, and I got a bug report with someone who really wanted to use the SDK to deploy Java.
It was quite a rude one, actually. Somebody saying, why on earth are the Debian maintainers doing this? They have no respect for their users. You know, it was somebody who was very upset about it. It wasn't just this file isn't here for completeness.
If we just would remove it, we are just skipping the SDK. And that's not what I do want either.
Well, you might want to argue about the DLL to be built from source, because it isn't part of some kind of full chain, so no other package does depend on it. one Java implementation, not by three Java implementations. That's another thing, because then Debian isn't able to build on Java support, and well, ships separated packages to defenders, because we cannot build from source. And then I think it becomes a bit political. So if you can't use base in Debian, yeah, please take some packages. They work. And at the same time, there are outstanding issues which are, I say, slowly fixed. So I think the point to be able from source is one important thing. It's not, I don't necessarily agree with the DLL thing, but it's another thing. The open office should be completely global with a free tool chain.
But I thought we agreed on that already some days ago.
Okay. Yeah.
We had a control, many people participating, and we defined a kind of policy about the usage, the allowed usage of Java or not. And certainly everybody should follow this policy. If somebody did not, then it's a bug or a bug or whatever. But we therefore not try to address it. I think most probably I'm going to do that.
We can discuss this, discuss that
further.
At least for the external jars, I will just create a ZS and look whether it works on Windows. Tor, you are building with the full patch yet, aren't you? You are building on Windows with the full overbit patch yet, aren't you? Also with the XT stuff? That would be nice to check, because then we can look whether it works on Windows. Because I only can test Linux, because I only have Linux machines. So,
just had a comment on Rene's numbers at the beginning, the popularity contest numbers. One has to mention that the popularity contest is not installed by default, and is not installed at all in the Debian Sarge stable.
That's why I said it to begin installed.
That means that we don't have reliable numbers for Sarge users. We only have reliable numbers for the users using testing on stable. And we will have more reliable numbers for Edge, actually.
Yeah.
And it would be interesting for user surveys and things like that.
Okay, thank you.